It's the TV news recorded October 8th, 2014. More fall TV. Are we good to go?
We're good to go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because we're recording.
Oh, hi.
Hi, everyone.
All right.
This is the fifth episode.
That's almost live.
That's enough for a hand.
That's enough for a hand, all right.
That's enough for a handy.
Well, okay.
Yeah, already.
All right. Well, you do a lot for us.
10 seconds in, and you already went there.
All right.
So, yeah, we've done 5 episodes, and we're still in the fall TV mix.
The flood is beginning.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm getting to the point where I think it's like my Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, every night of TV is packed.
It's like last week we were talking about the beginning of fall TV. We're going to talk about a bunch more shows.
Yeah. Right.
And then next week, we're just going to have to have the culling.
So
just cut a bunch of shows.
Oh, I'm already in mid-cull. I was going to talk about this with Greg because we're both, I'm sure, working on our What's
yes,
on our DVR.
Yes, we are.
And I wrote part of mine, and I'm already taking some shows. There are shows that will never appear in that column because I'm like, it was on for one episode and then it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, so, I would say same thing with me because you have it set in your VCR just to, you know, so you can tape it and watch it, try them out. But then it's like, okay, I'm done with it, or they're just piled all the way up, and you're just like, I'm never going to watch this.
We'll
you take
talk
it
about
off.
A couple of those shows, at least one of them today that made like it didn't even make 10 minutes for me. I'm like, yep, we're done with you forever.
That's terrible.
But before we get to that, we got a little bit of house cleaning once again. And to kick that off, I'll go ahead and remind everyone that you guys can shoot us emails at mail@thetvdudes.com. Mm-hmm. Although I haven't really gotten many that are applicable to reading on here.
Most of them are just sex advice and
complaints.
Yeah. What about that long list of emojis? We have the camel, sunflower, little turd with a happy face on it.
Now, if you can make
another
any sense
camel.
Of that. Go for it, because I was confused.
Oh.
But we do like to remind people that we, in addition, do post on Facebook and on Twitter before an episode, so we can take questions that way as well.
Yes, indeed.
And we got a few today that we're going to read on the show.
I made a recent posting on Facebook.
Did you?
Yes.
What was it?
The milk conspiracy.
Oh, God damn it. Back.
Another one? Another milk
Bart Simpson was forced to drink a big glass of milk.
Uh-huh.
And then in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they investigated a crime at a chocolate milk restaurant.
Well, there's
got
to be something to it then.
That were both on Fox. Within the same hour, they were talking about milk consumption again on Fox.
So there's two possibilities here, Johnny. One is that milk consumption is so irregular and so bizarre, there's a deep conspiracy related to Rupert Murdoch. The other is that milk is so normal that it happens all the time, and you're the only one noticing.
It freaks me out.
It could be that you're losing
Either way, it freaks me out.
Well, we're going to get into questions in a second. Like, one question I have for Johnny, what's wrong with you? But first, we have an iTunes shout-out. What people can do is go to the iTunes store and go to the TV Dudes. Give us 5 stars, and please write a little review, and we'll read it on the show.
I have brittle bones.
Do you? You should drink more milk.
I have a calcium deficiency because of
that's
my paranoia.
What it is.
That's what's wrong with me.
Extreme fear.
It's caused my skull to start to cave in my brain pan.
Jesus. So, Neffitz, with 2 S's at the end, wrote, great podcast with great hosts and topics, 5 out of 5. And then he put a little sign of a guy going, woo.
Okay.
I don't know. You guys would have to see it.
It looks very Adventure Time.
But
I thought
you.
It was a pretty good little drawing. It has a very Adventure
Time
look
sounds,
to it.
Yeah.
But thank you for that. And please, other people go there. Help us out. Raises our visibility. Helps us out with the show. And then we have a couple questions. First question comes from Fernando. He says, what has been the biggest surprise of the new fall season, good or bad?
We'll talk about it later in the show, actually, for me. I don't want to, but A to Z is so far my biggest surprise.
I would say, we'll also talk about this in a bit. Mm-hmm. Selfie was a surprise for me.
And how terrible it was?
And how not.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Wow, we're very low.
I had such low expectations, I guess, though.
I thought I did, too, but apparently not. Oh, Gotham's been a huge surprise, because I didn't think it sucked that bad, but it does.
There we go. All right, and our another question is, Chris Hatfield asks, there are a slate of shows scheduled for their final season. Are you excited to see any of them leave, or are you disappointed that they aren't staying longer? For example, Boardwalk Empire, Sons of Anarchy, Cougar Town, Justified, Parenthood, etc. He says he's personally excited to see Sons of Anarchy exit, It's enjoyable kitsch, but sadly it jumped the shark a few seasons ago.
I think, Grant, for you, I think you should be glad Sons of Anarchy is leaving so it can, you can get out of your misery.
You can't deal with the confusion.
Because it's a terrible, it's like a terrible relationship. It goes back and forth and back and forth. So I could see how you'd be happy that's gone. Out of the ones he mentioned, I don't watch Parenthood, so I didn't know, you know, I thought it was gone already. Justified, I'm looking forward to the last season.
I'm glad Justified is ending.
Me
Justified's
too.
A show that needs an ending, and I think they've almost run out the rope a little too far. So,
right.
But on the flip side, Boardwalk Empire, I'm liking, but I feel like there was so much more to be done.
There is a lot. I mean, there's so many strands to Boardwalk Empire, and also knowing the history and what's going on, like, where the characters do end up going, like luckily Luciano, ends up, he lives until like in his 60s, until the he dies in his 60s.
So spoilers for real life.
Well, yeah.
But, look up Lucky Luciano. Yeah, look up his life story was pretty fascinating.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like stuff like that, or even what happens to Enoch, or just Chalky White, where they could take that. I feel like they're truncating it too much. So that's what I wish they had another one.
Yeah, I wish there was more of Boardwalk Empire.
I think that... I'm not sorry to see it go, though. I mean, you know, like,
I could
watch it more and more, but it's like, okay, you can wrap it up. That's fine.
That's kind of where I was with Treme, too. I was sad to see it go, but at the same time, I was like, I got enough. I got plenty.
Yeah. I was amazed this week that they found Steve Buscemi's younger clone.
That was amazing.
Episode. I mean, that guy acted like him. It was almost like a ventriloquist dummy.
That's got to be creepy.
Yeah, those ugly eyes.
Yeah.
And the teeth. But he had the posture.
Steve Buscemi eyes.
Is that the song?
No more milk for you.
No more milk. Sorry, I'm all hopped up on milk juice.
I love that. I wonder how actors feel about that when other people come in and play younger versions of themselves. It just...
Well, it's how,
fuck you, whippersnapper.
Yeah, just how creepy it can be. So.
He goes out and his car is all egged and stuff. I'm a movie star.
We should move on to news.
The news.
We're going light on the news this week because there's A, not a lot happening, and B, lots of TV shows to talk about.
Yes.
So we will start off with the big one that has been announced, Twin Peaks Revival, to air on Showtime in 2016.
I never would have been excited about this until I actually heard the news that David Lynch will be directing all of the episodes.
All nine episodes.
I haven't heard who is returning.
Well, I think that's still in speculation.
Right.
Yeah.
But the fact that David Lynch is directing all nine episodes
for Showtime. Yep.
That's just really good news.
It'll be interesting. I mean, I didn't watch it. I don't remember it. I think I tried watching it. I just don't remember anything from it.
Yeah.
And I haven't rewatched it since. Like,
are you a David Lynch fan, though? Because, I mean, that's the thing. If you're not a David Lynch fan...
Honestly, I've only seen. Let's see. He did.
You are a David Lynch fan.
Mulholland Drive was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
Mulholland Drive was one of
the
greatest.
Blue Velvet was weird.
Ever.
And what's the Burroughs movie he did? He did the William Burroughs movie too.
No, he didn't do Naked Lunch. No, that was Cronenberg.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I got them mixed up too.
Yeah.
They're so different. They're both weird. But when they were coming out with the same human. No, they're completely different. One is an Eagle Scout and one is a Canadian.
But what's interesting?
That is the best pitch for a cop show I've ever heard.
Yeah, because that's interesting because those guys both put out, like, you know, I guess in the late 80s when I was in high school and trying to be like really arty, they put out quote unquote arty films. So I'd watch them and not really understand them, but I would watch them just to say I watched them. Same thing with Twin Peaks because I knew it was good.
To
get girls like, yeah, you know, you see that Twin Peaks, that show was really cool. And I had no idea what I was talking about. So. Yeah.
Well, here's my question because it had two seasons and then it ended. And then a lot of people lamented that there was never a third one or a movie or anything. And what's happening?
Well, there was a movie. Firewalk with Me.
But
it was like a prequel movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, they said that this is taking place in present day.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the show either.
Now the movie was a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that they're gonna jump forward 25 years in time, essentially.
There's a hypnotic quasi dream sequence where Laura Palmer says, I'll be back in 25 years. Or you'll see me again in 25 years.
Yeah,
and that's been screen capped all over everybody's web pages for the last year.
It's happening.
Yeah, it's pretty cool how they're tapping into it. So it'll really be 26.
Yeah, where did that voice come from, Grant? I'm sorry.
That's his Rip Taylor sound. Yeah. Hello. Here's what Hello, I'm saying. Grant.
This is the most exciting. I was not a huge Twin Peaks fan either. It didn't click for me. But here's what's exciting to me about Twin Peaks being revived. That Terrors revival, it's got to be right around the corner.
It's got to be, right?
I mean, everything else is getting revived. Where's my Terrors revival?
Right around the 25 years later corner.
I'm sorry, but maybe, you know, you'll get a cameo on Gotham.
No.
But Terriers is
like
Occupado.
A knife in my heart.
Ouch, that was cold.
Like
that
a
was
knife
cold.
In my heart.
I'm just trying to lay it out, man.
That's going to be the worst.
You saying the other guy from Terriers is going to play Mr. Freeze?
Yes, exactly.
What
Senor
other
Senor Freeze.
FX is giving a series order to Ryan Murphy's American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson.
Oh,
this is weird.
I didn't even hear about this.
It's a true crime. They're calling it a companion to his American Horror Story franchise. It's going to be a 10-episode order. Going to be the same kind of thing. Every season will be different stories, always true crime. What? The first one is based on a book called The Run of His Life by Jeffrey Toobin, which is an account of the Simpson murder case, apparently well-regarded.
Yeah, it is. Jeffrey Toobin is a great writer.
It's going to be a 10-episode. I'm more interested in the crime than horror, so I'm actually kind of curious to see this.
So he's going to do like a different crime.
Different true crime every season.
Is genius.
Yeah,
I love it.
I love it, too.
He's hinted at that sort of thing on American Horror Story with, you know, like a cameo of the Black Dahlia.
Right.
A little cameo of Sal Mineo's murder. And, you know,
clearly
even the Anne Frank thing, you know, was kind of a... He likes historical elements in his stories, but I'm still curious as to how that's going to work as an anthology series.
I am, too, but I'm interested in seeing where that goes. I'm more interested in crime than horror, so I'll probably check that one
out. Me too, but that's just... Oh, that's interesting.
It's a weird one, yeah. And finally, from the sublime to the ridiculous, Uncle Buck at ABC.
You know, we got to have one movie being adapted to TV each week in the news.
Yeah.
Apparently so, yeah. John Hughes movie. It's a 1989 movie. Starred John Candy.
It was lovely. I love
They're
that movie.
They're developing it. Written by Stephen Craig and Brian Bradley for Universal TV. I don't know who those guys are.
Now, what's the real premise here? Well, Uncle Buck's just a silly uncle that goes in and takes
he babysits the kids. Yeah.
He's not so much silly. He's like a cigar-chomping, drunk womanizer, goes to the track.
Right.
He's a childish bachelor who suddenly has to take care of his brother's unruly kids.
Now,
apparently CBS...
It's a very fresh concept. Yeah. It's not like anything you've ever heard
of.
It's
so 1989.
It's like the kids end up taking care of him in a way.
Apparently, CBS tried this in 1990 with Kevin Meaney, had a brief run, and was mostly notable for spurring outrage among pundits and TV critics for what was then seen as coarse language. The phrase, "you suck," as delivered by a kid to an adult.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was a big deal because people pretended nobody talked that way. It's already been done in that they took two weight appropriate guys. They divided John Candy into 2.5 men. And
am I crazy? Randy, help me out with this.
Yeah.
Wasn't this like a cartoon for a while?
There was an Uncle Buck cartoon. Oh, my God, you're right.
I knew I wasn't crazy. There was an Uncle Buck cartoon.
I could have sworn there was a Kevin Meaney show or somebody like that.
There was a Kevin Meaney.
There was a Kevin Meaney show.
And it was Uncle Buck?
It was Uncle Buck
for
1 year.
Who is Kevin Meaney?
I don't know.
He was this comedian.
Is he related to Cold Meaney?
He was...
I don't think so.
He's still around. His catchphrase was, "That's not right."
Yeah, exactly.
And over the last couple of years, he decided to come out of the closet because, like... nobody cared about him anymore, and it was like, maybe I'll get a headline out of this.
So, in the closing paragraph here, it mentions that there was on Monday, Deadline reported that NBC was setting a deal for a series billed as a 10 years later sequel to Cameron Crowe's Say Anything. And then Cameron Crowe and John Cusack took to Twitter a few hours later to bash it and put the project on ice permanently.
Oh, wow.
Which, part of me thinks I would kind of like to see where Say Anything goes, but if Cameron Crowe and John Cusack aren't on board, fuck that, no.
I'd like to see Say Anything Else. That's just my
take. The O.J. Simpson story. Say Anything Else.
But that is the news for the week.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back with some plenty, rather, of TV talk.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna lose yourself tonight. You're gonna lose yourself. You're gonna lose your soul tonight. Oh, you're
So there's a spate of new comedies right now.
A spate.
A lot of them romantic comedies.
I was just thinking that. They're all kind of comedy.
Yeah. So we're going to tackle three of them here. Mm-hmm. Just bing, bing, bing. Knock them out.
All right.
First of all, let's talk about A to Z, Grant.
So we're starting on a high note.
Yes.
Okay, because this one was really good.
Really good.
It was very surprising because it starts off and you're like, corny. But it took me a minute to realize who it was, but it's Katie Sagal.
It's Katie Sagal.
Who's doing the narration.
Took you a minute. I had to go to IMDb, and I never do this watching a show, but it was driving me crazy.
At first, I was thinking it was, what's her name? CJ Craig.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking, too. And I'm like, I know this voice. Where do I know this voice from? It's Katie Sagal doing the narration.
Once I was able to think of it, I was like, oh, yeah, it's Leela or whatever.
That's why I was noticing it, because she's done so much voiceover work.
Yeah.
I was thinking of her and the voice, and then I was happy when I finally, but I could not have watched the show without knowing. It was going to drive me crazy.
Yeah.
So she's narrating the story of, There's two characters.
Ginsburg from Mad Men.
Right. Ben Feldman, whose name is Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew. Okay. And Kristen Milioti, who you know is the mother from How I Met Your Mother.
Now
playing Zelda. And this is the story of the relationship between Andrew and Zelda. They will date for 8 years, 4 months, some amount of days.
Mm-hmm.
They already give the lifeline of it.
And this is their relationship from A to Z.
It's kind of like 500 Days of Summer in that way.
It's very much like 500 Days of Summer.
You know the length of their relationship.
Except what we don't know is the ending. This is what I thought. I thought
they
were boxing themselves into a corner. Like, they could break up. They could break up temporarily. They could get married. There's no way of knowing what ends at the end of the relationship.
Murder, suicide.
Now,
because it didn't say they will. It said they will.
Could be murder, suicide.
Murder, suicide. They will
that'd
date.
That'd be an interesting way for a sitcom to end.
That's
wouldn't
quite
it?
A genre.
That would be. That would be a nice.
All, at the very end, it ends with dun dun. It's a Law and Order episode.
If How I Met Your Mother would have ended with a murder suicide,
or maybe like
kills
a
mask,
they all drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, like and like the kids, you see him like drinking, then he goes and that's and then the camera pans over and she's dead, and the kids are like.
Like, that's how I met
that
your
that would have been a better ending.
That actually would have been a better ending.
That would have worked.
So macabre. Flies over top.
Yeah, exactly.
So macabre.
Cut off your balls and lace up the Nike.
Drink up
kids.
That milk, everyone. Here we go.
The milk cult.
Oh my god, it's all so clear.
But this was really good. They did the meet cute thing, and it could easily have been too saccharine, I think, but I thought they walked the line pretty well.
They had a pretty good balance. I like the supporting characters, especially Ben, or Andrew, I guess is his name in the show. Yeah. His supporting character, because I think he does they have a really cute buddy relationship.
You mean Henry Zebrowski as Stu?
Is that? Oh yeah, I guess so. They have a really cute relationship as like buddies, but he also like when he's like helping him out, like really like, hey, that's great job on your little stalking profile.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go take a dump. That guy caught me off guard.
He was annoying me in the first 5 or 10 minutes, and then I grew to like him.
Yeah, I like with the reveal that he was the guy pretending to be a jazz enthusiast.
Yes, and that was with her friend Lenora Critchlow playing Steffi. Mm-hmm. As her British best friend, who reminded me in a good way of from You're the Worst, the best friend of You're the Worst, who I love.
That,
whose name I'm blanking on now.
Oh,
it's okay. You can blank on all those people's names.
I know.
They're all
new. That was 2 weeks ago.
Kether Donahue. Kether Donahue.
Yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of her.
Kether.
I love
like Heather with a K.
Yeah. I fell so in love with her
by the end of that show.
Oh my god!
And then they also had Hong Chow and Parvesh China as Dinesh and Laura, the two tech people who obviously have sort of a passive aggressive, I'm guessing, friends with benefits relationship.
Yeah,
I loved the bit of moments that they had.
Yeah,
but I mean, really, the thing is, it's a when we saw the trailers versus the upfronts, I remember thinking, okay, we just saw the whole show. Because it is like they meet, they talk about this moment. She pretends not to be her; she's her.
It's all the first episode.
They come together, they kiss, and it's like, oh, that's the relationship. But that's just the start of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I sort of see where they're going, I'm curious to see the relationship develop. I think they've got great chemistry.
It's very lighthearted. It's like even more lighthearted than like something like Modern Family.
Yeah.
It probably could use a little bit more punch up with the humor.
Although I laughed out loud at a few things.
I did too.
I mean, there was definitely funny.
Yeah, but I think it toes more the line of the romantic comedy than
it is.
Comedy romantic, I guess.
I also thought I liked basically that they the tone is sort of 500 Days of Summer meets How I Met Your Mother.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of narrator from the future, and hopefully they'll know to avoid the minefield that How I Met Your Mother stepped right into.
It also reminded me a little bit of Arrested Development and how Katie Sagal almost kind of confirmed or made jokes or pointed out things that to the audience that the protagonist didn't know.
Right. Well, I griped about narration in I think Manhattan Love Story has it, I think, and Blackish has it. And Blackish, while I like it, I think in general doing voiceover is kind of a cheat.
Manhattan Love Story, we'll get to it, but it's not narration.
It's
their thoughts.
There was another show besides Blackish. Someone else is doing narration. I didn't think they did it well.
Yeah.
And I feel like narration...
It's tricky.
It's tricky. And I think if you're not doing noir, it's sort of a cheat.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it here.
Well, you and I are the only ones who've seen this. We both give it thumbs up.
Yep, thumbs up.
Definitely check this out, guys.
Until I'd seen Flash, which we'll talk about next week, it was my favorite pilot of the season.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Let's go to a slightly more divisive one.
Okay.
So, Grant, what'd you think of Selfie?
Selfie? I had expectations that this was just going to be the absolute worst thing. I put it up there with, what was the one? The fat white lady comedian last
super
year.
Super Fun Night.
Super Fun Night.
Yeah. Right.
With, her name starts with an R.
Rebel Wilson.
Yeah, that show. I thought it was going to be as bad as that. It's just the idea.
It was going to be the attractive version of that.
Yeah, I was hoping. Well, yeah.
That show could have ended with murder suicides.
It starts off kind of corny with this. I mean, they're trying to be too hip, I guess, and playing with hashtags and
I called it the hippest internet comedy of 2012.
Yeah, and it's overkill. It reminds me of like when Alan Ball started with 6 Feet Under, and he was trying to do a shtick.
Yeah,
and the first episode they had to drop it.
Well, you remember
it wasn't sustainable.
CBS tried it with Shit My Dad Says.
Yeah.
With William Shatner for like 2 episodes or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like whenever it gets to television, whatever the trend is, you just don't.
By that time,
it's over.
Well, I live tweeted this, ironically.
Yes, you did.
I was that guy.
Well,
I thought
the show ends up getting better as they kind of move away from that. I feel like maybe that was their hope was in it was a way to kind of entice new viewers.
Yeah.
But it was it was pushing me away.
Yep.
Until it gets to the heart of it, and it's that this girl has a lot of emotional issues growing up, and
right.
So she's very conceited and doesn't know how to interact with people. John Cho's going to try and help her be a little bit more sociable.
I agree that it got better in the way that if you're on a shipwreck and all the sharks go away to eat somebody else, that's better for you.
Did you watch all the way through?
I did.
I didn't. I made it through about 2/3 of it, and I said, that's enough of that. I got to go.
I found her so hateful.
Yeah, she
I just found her boring.
Vapid. And I also
And it's okay to be vapid and funny, but I didn't think she
wasn't funny. I also think she's working way too hard with that American accent. It's not great.
And why make her be an American?
Karen Gillan.
Yeah, I mean, everything that I love about her was not there. It was one of those things like, why are you not using her for what she's good for?
Why did you take this very talented actress and turn her into someone else?
Yeah, exactly.
Because she has to be American in order to be this self-absorbed.
It would have made more sense if she used English.
You know, it would have worked. I know, right? That's how I felt, too.
Yeah.
And as a vehicle for some young American comedian, probably we're going to get to it, but Nassim Pedrad would have been great
in
that
part. Yeah.
She's just... Yeah. But she was so miscast. And I don't know what the John Cho thing is. All I know him from is Star Trek. So
Harold Kumar. That's why
I shit about Harold
American
and Kumar,
Pie.
For God's sake. He was an American Pie?
He was an American Pie, that's right.
Harold Kumar would
be coined the phrase MILF, I believe.
Was it?
He coined it?
Wow. Well, his character did.
Oh.
Wow. Did not know that.
He was the MILF guy.
I have to give him a nickel every time I Googled. Sorry.
You don't have to Google it about every sidebar of every site you
Jeez,
go to.
I mean, okay. I remember him from that Flash Forward.
that's what he was in.
I think the best thing I read on Selfie was somebody on my Facebook page said that it only makes sense if Karen Gillan is a 14-year-old who made a wish to be big.
Ah.
I'm like that show. That's more interesting because they're so inconsistent. She's like, she's so into social media and all this stuff that she doesn't know to talk to people and say, you know, thank you and that kind of thing. And then yet she's so adult in other ways. And I'm like, okay, you can't have it both ways. Either she, because it's less like she's,
I guess,
socially awkward and more like she has serious social
issues. We see this all
the
time with dudes, though. There's always man children in shows, and we just kind of accept it.
It was
more than
that.
She's a woman child.
It was more than that.
I don't like man child either.
I just felt it was kind of in the same vein. It's like, okay, obviously I just have to go along with the conceit that she doesn't know how to interact, and that's what we're going to go with in order to draw some humor from that. I was getting some.
Here's the thing about it, though. It's also a riff on Pygmalion. You know,
it's not much of a riff on Pygmalion.
And the thing about Pygmalion is that underneath the coarse outer manners, Eliza Doolittle is a good person.
They had great actors in that,
underneath
too.
The sort of coarse exterior of Karen Gillan's self-absorbed Eliza Dooley is more self-absorbed Eliza Dooley. So there's nothing to get.
But Pygmalion, you know, My
I've
Fair
never
Lady.
Heard of this Pygmalion.
My Fair Lady.
Wow, My Fair Lady.
But that's also kind of a Trading Places kind of a thing. Because Henry Higgins has to, like, prove that he can do it.
That's the other thing. Henry
and there's
Higgins
really no, I don't get any point what John Cho is messing with it for.
Now, apparently there was a longer cut of the pilot. Mm-hmm. Where Henry, John Cho's character, is having a bet with the other character, and they cut that entirely out.
See, then that kind of defeats
exactly
the purpose.
Like Trading Places.
Yep.
To me, that makes it almost like workplace harassment.
Yeah. Well, it's creepy.
I mean, not like sexual harassment, dude, mind your own fucking business.
Well,
you're my boss, not my boyfriend.
There's a certain chemistry between them.
There is a certain chemistry, and that's what I'm going to give this a couple episodes, even though I kind of hated it, because they have chemistry, and I like both of them. I just feel like they're being badly used.
And perhaps
used in
that chemistry is why they didn't want to have something nefarious also involved.
It wasn't nefarious. The guy was in the room apparently while she was asking him. She comes in, and this is very My Fair Lady. She comes in and asks him for help, and his friend's like, "You can't do it." And he's like, "I'll bet you." And that's very My Fair Lady.
Right.
Right.
That scene was removed because it came off as creepy. But even without him, it's even creepier. He seems so delighted by the possibility of being able to remold this woman that I just found it utterly creepy and horrifying. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't really.
Yeah. Because he's so thrilled by the notion of being able to reshape this woman.
They're in the same age group.
Yeah.
I mean, he has that scene where he's like, "I am firmly planted in Generation X and you're a millennial." I'm like, by what, 4 years? Yeah. You know, you're not a middle-aged guy. If it was a middle-aged guy trying to groom somebody for the executive ranks because he sees something in her, that would
that
be a whole
sense.
Different thing.
Yeah.
But so I'm going, I don't really get what the gist of this is.
That's where I come down on this whole thing. I believe that basically with some little development and some tweaks, this could have been a really good pilot. And it feels unfinished.
There's
it feels
nothing
like
sexual, I think, really, in their relationship. Or at least not that much.
There will be.
There probably will
there
be.
There will be. And
no, this
gets real creepy.
This is deliberately based off Pygmalion, and that is about the two of them falling in love. That is where they're going.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, but, you know, you don't bust out the chick that you're falling in love with on booty calls.
Right.
You know? I mean, it was just kind of, I just thought it was off. Everything about it was off. I didn't get what the point was, and I really felt like she was miscast.
But the thing is, like,
felt in a very forgiving mood after watching a couple other shows that we saw. And this was a lot stronger than those other ones.
It was stronger than one of the one we're about to talk about. Yes.
Yeah.
Should we go on to that?
Let's
jump into it.
So speaking of shows that I didn't finish watching, like Johnny didn't finish watching Selfie. Manhattan Love Story on ABC.
I didn't finish watching that either.
I did. I finished watching it.
I hated the show.
I have a real warm spot for Annalee Tipton. I'm really fond of her. I wasn't crazy about it. I won't kid you about that. I was doing stuff while it was legitimate stuff.
Ouch.
Legitimate stuff.
Minutes?
Can you edit that out a little bit? I was, you know, what are we? Are we cooking here? Okay. Yeah, Grant just edited out something
sleazy that I said. We'll try and keep it down a little.
So, I just like her a lot. She was in Hung. She was in that movie I talked about, Damsels in Distress. I just like, she was on America's Top Model. She was a finalist. I just really like her a lot. I wasn't crazy about the movie, but I liked how it wasn't claustrophobic. Like that was the other feeling that I got for Selfie, was it just all felt very closed in.
Yeah.
There didn't seem to be an open window in a single scene. Whereas this had some nice New York feelings to it.
It did. I guess my problem is that I've never seen a bigger group of douchebags in one place.
Yeah. I like Kurt Fuller. I agree. I'm not crazy about it, but I made it all the way through it.
Well,
I guess
here's the other thing. This originally had a different title and was about, the thing was like, what are you thinking, or something like that. And the whole premise was based on being able to see into their thoughts.
Yeah.
But it turns out the thoughts we can see are men like boobs and women like purses. And I'm like, that's what you had to offer?
Wow.
That's your insight?
That was it in the beginning. Yeah. And I was like, ooh, I'm already turned off by this intro.
Okay.
And how that guy was acting in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a guy I'm supposed to follow for the rest of the show?
Yeah.
Fuck this guy.
I hated that guy.
No,
I hated
thank you.
Him.
Yep. And then I didn't like the guy either.
So vapid.
So stupid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, and no offense to her, I think maybe there's some more growth. It's just what we're first introduced to is, oh, I like that purse. Oh, I like that purse. That guy's kind of hot. I like that purse.
Yeah.
And
that's
there
lazy.
Was, yeah, there was nothing there. I agree. The characters were so slim.
I'm glad you guys watched this so I don't have to.
Oh, man. I this is
putting forth the work.
If A to Z was the show I enjoyed the most, this was the one I've hated the most so far. More than Gotham.
More than Selfie.
Whoa.
More than Selfie.
Okay.
Whoa.
I hated it. I hate it, man.
Speaking of Gotham, did you realize that the Catwoman girl is 15 years old?
That makes sense.
And she's a dancer. She's from a...
I knew she was a dancer. You can tell that in the physicality.
You're right.
She's
really best smitten with that kitten.
I'm smitten with that kitten. You're absolutely right.
Oh,
I do think she's the best part of Gotham.
I would watch her drink milk.
Oh.
Getting weird. Getting weird.
That's awesome.
She's a kitten.
Yeah.
It's always cute when kittens drink milk.
But the
y'all
milk
are
was
weird.
Poison,
y'all are,
I thought. Y'all
are
I don't know where you're
warped.
Going with this.
Y'all are warped out, people.
Gotham is also going to end with a murder-suicide.
Ours.
All right. Well, what else we got on the back? Right.
Mulaney? So, we're going with Mulaney?
Yes. We're
going
to talk about Fox's Sunday, which is Simpsons and Family Guy Return.
All right. Mulaney.
And... Mulaney.
I'm excited to talk about Mulaney.
Okay,
I see this.
So
Johnny's excited for Mulaney.
I saw like a little bit of it, I guess. Is it on before Brooklyn Nine? I don't know. I saw a little clip of it somehow in some weird way.
Yeah.
And so he's a stand-up comedian that
He's a good stand-up comedian.
Okay, I've never
he's
seen
a great stand-up.
He was a writer first. He was an SNL writer.
Okay.
And a stand-up comedian, but his stand-up on Netflix is really worth checking out.
Well, I'll check it out cuz I've never heard of him. And just, I mean, I love Martin Short. It's just the fact that Martin Short's in it. And something about, they ran those promos, was like Mulaney and Martin Short acting like he's the lead guy.
Right.
And it's just, the chemistry between the two guys just made me laugh out of a stupid promo.
And Martin Short plays showbiz characters.
He is the best.
Like, he's so
the best.
Good.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. I think he is.
He's great because most showbiz guys are like the way the guy used to do that was like Billy Crystal back in the day.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I think Martin Short is best in small doses.
Yes,
like
exactly.
The Jiminy Glick thing. I
yeah,
take
you can only take like 15 minutes.
I think Grant may have another different opinion.
You like Martin Short?
My brain hemorrhaging. Okay, first off, here's my question.
Yeah.
The intro bit with him doing his little comedy routine, very Seinfeld.
Sure.
Yeah. And this is obviously we're passing the torch.
They're unapologetically riffing on Seinfeld.
They're hoping.
No. Well, and that's the thing. While I liked it, it's not Seinfeld. And it's not even early Seinfeld. Well, it's Philly Got Its Problems.
Someone asked me, is this a carbon copy of Seinfeld? I said, it's a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy that it's all faded and you can no longer see it.
Oh,
the humor's been lost.
Lighten up.
Wow. Wow.
It's almost riffing on the Amy Schumer type thing in that he's got the signs up for Mulaney. You know, like it's like he's doing his own warm-up for the stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas Seinfeld, he was always in a club somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
And those were very staged. Whereas this is staged, but they try to make it look like he's doing a live thing. Kind of like
Louis C.K.
But Louis doesn't have his
he's
name
at a,
in
he's
neon
at a club
lights.
Too. I mean, this is
above
this. Like he's on the set.
Yeah, exactly.
The audience. And I think that's how they do it. They have a live studio audience,
right?
Which did that bother you, Johnny?
No,
me neither. And it usually does.
Unless
it bothered me big time.
Bothered me, the only thing I noticed was that I wasn't laughing at anything the studio audience was laughing at.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go into a little rant here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
First off, his comedy bit in the beginning. I didn't find it really that funny.
I've seen
his other stand-up. This just felt weird. His acting through the whole thing, he does weird voices.
His acting's terrible.
That aren't good. His acting, his timing are all off in like a very... It's almost like he's channeling Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh.
Like doing a mock of how one should act as a human.
That's
he doesn't
true.
Seem real.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then they start off the show with him in a doctor's office with his buddy, and then another girl, who's obviously their friend, the Elaine Bennis, just shows up into the same doctor's office.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's all bullshit.
Yeah, right.
It's so convoluted. It's, I was just like, come on, stop.
Are you
stop
telling me the problem with this wasn't realistic enough? Is that where you're going?
It's just so dated, and it would be a mockery of how shows were made back then if it was trying to be satirical, but it's not. It's just trying to play into that formula, and it's bad.
This sounds like, to me, from what you're describing, like it should be something on FXX, like like Charlie Sheen's show, or that new show with Kelsey Grammer and Martin Lawrence.
This is a time capsule to a bunch of bad Jeff Foxworthy shows.
What they're trying to ape is I agree with you to some extent that this is a time capsule. But you got the wrong time. They're trying to
ape. No, it's not must-see NBC.
They're trying to ape it. No, they're not, but that's what they're trying to go for. That is the time.
I would just like to point out, just in general, my problem with every first episode of everything I've seen this year is just how front-loaded. If there's a peripheral character, they're going to be introduced in the first episode.
That's the funny.
They have been cramming so much into one episode it's like, I don't know. I keep hearing Blackish episode 2 and 3 got better.
But see, that's the funny thing, and that's where they're either cramming and everything in, or people say it's too slow because you have to introduce it like the way HBO or cable does it, because they know they have
don't
a certain
introduce
scene.
Everyone allow some
but
history.
It's hard though for any network show, and
the
I don't know why.
Allow those people in the background to just be in the background.
Yeah,
I agree.
Here, I guess you're,
here's
yeah,
the thing.
You're right.
I think
yeah,
I come down a little bit between you and Johnny because I liked it, but and people hate this show. Like all the critics hate this show.
I hate.
And
I haven't even gotten into all the other stuff.
I saw a friend who posted something about like Mulaney. It's like I love the comedian John Mulaney. Watching his show is like watching a friend bleed out slowly.
And I was like,
wow,
good.
That's harsh.
Man, your Twitter friends are.
They're pretty, funny. They're brutal
they
and
be
funny.
In this room with us, actually. I'm feeling a little threatened.
It was a great line. I had to steal it. But here's the thing. I don't understand the hatred that's being directed at it.
How about this? I'll keep going for you.
All right.
The black friend, he's like, hey, I'm working on a joke. Oh, yeah, what's the joke? Well, there's two types of women. There's regular women, and then there's problem bitches.
That's
what the black friend's got to add to the conversation about his comedy.
Ow. Yeah, hey, hello.
That's like the only bit we get from him in the intro for the first 12 minutes.
But the joke was how by the end of the episode,
it was a viral thing.
It wasn't a great joke, but I liked that they kept
that
going back to it.
That was our 12-minute intro bit for him.
I don't know.
And then they just cram in this joke that you could see a mile away about how him lying about the peeing means he's going to have something terrible happen to him, and sure enough, he gets a proctology exam.
Yeah. No, I mean, here's the thing. If you want to say that there's a lot of this that's obvious and badly written, I won't disagree with you.
Martin Short is terrible.
Martin Short
he
is not terrible.
He is hamming up everything.
I agree.
That guy,
that's what he does.
That guy doesn't belong on a show like this.
I disagree.
He's so hammy. He's a parody of himself. As well.
I agree. I feel like I should be like the old McLaughlin group, and Jack Jamon. What do you think? Wrong, Randy. What do you think? Wrong. That's right.
Student UN meetings.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, here's the thing.
Randy's gonna take off his shoe and beat it on the podium.
I got plenty of laughs from it.
Me
and I think it's a great cast.
Yep.
I mean. Yes, Elliot Gould and Martin Short are overplaying. They're playing to the cheap sheets.
Yep. I love Elliot
And yes, John Mulaney's a terrible actor.
Yep.
But this cast is good. They could find their chemistry. Look at how bad Seinfeld was early on. I'm not saying this is going to become Seinfeld.
Seinfeld wasn't bad early on.
The first episode's pretty weak.
Well, it's...
That's what I'm saying. This show...
Weak and bad are two different things.
This show is not likely to become Seinfeld, but I also don't see where it's a crime against humanity like, say, Manhattan Love Story or Selfie.
Well, there's fake laughter being added into everything because
it's not
there's
fake.
No way,
that's the worst part.
There's no way the audience was laughing as hard at.
Oh,
some
they
of those
sweeten that stuff up. Yeah,
they do.
I agree.
They add a bunch more in because they were saying such dumb lines, and the audience is like, "Whoa!"
Bullshit. That's true.
Wow.
Bullshit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fuck this show. Fuck the station. Everyone involved.
Fuck this station. Fox.
Man, that is.
That is it harsh. The milk?
That might, yeah, it's the milk, man.
That might be the harshest.
That's just the milk talking, ladies and gentlemen.
I think that's the harshest review you've given a show in a long time.
I gave him 4 weeks, and he's going to be wearing a Mulaney t-shirt.
About Sons of Anarchy plenty.
Yeah, but you keep going back to that. This one doesn't sound like you're going to go back to.
No, I'm never
I don't understand the hate. I understand not liking it. I understand not wanting to watch it again. I don't understand how it's so terrible.
I don't understand how you're offended by it.
Wait, okay. Well, let me ask this then. What is it about the Mulaney that you're willing to give it more of a chance than, say, Selfie?
Oh, I'm giving both of them a chance.
I thought you didn't.
Manhattan Love Story. Manhattan
Love
Story.
Well, that seems to be universally panned. Yeah.
No.
But
why did I like Selfie better than Mulaney and Grant vice versa?
Yeah, that's
different taste.
Yeah, this is interesting.
I mean, I guess I didn't find Selfie funny. I found it really grating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Mulaney, while what they're trying to do here is maybe not what I would have done with this creative team, with this cast, I want to see what this cast can do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair
so
enough.
That's what it is. I mean, I don't think the premise is good. There's nothing to this premise. I don't think you should be trying to ape NBC must-see TV. I mean, this was an NBC show before Fox picked it up. But I think I have faith that this cast could develop into something. Mulaney's really good, not just at stand-up, but he also wrote for SNL. He should be able to do this. And being a terrible actor didn't stop Jerry Seinfeld, so I don't know why I should stop John Mulaney.
I'm with you. I completely endorse.
Well, I'll watch next week, or maybe I'll catch up on.
Grant will never watch it again.
I feel like Mulaney must have written for like the really bad years of SNL.
Wow! Wow!
For God's sake! What the fuck?
That's entering girl hatred, Grant.
I know, right?
I love it how personally invested you guys are. You're like,
I'm more personally invested in sorrow for your complete, your utter hatred.
It's just Grant,
for hate. This is not a good show.
I've never seen this side of you.
No, it's great. It's just because you, if you don't like something, you usually don't have this passion for hating something much.
You hate this way more.
I honestly think me, Randy, and Johnny will get really passionate about our hatred a little bit more than you do sometimes. So when it comes out of you, I find it.
I think you're the heart of this crew,
but,
guys,
and I feel like I'm watching the heart of this crew have an infarction.
Yeah, I love it though. It's great.
I don't even want to talk about this anymore.
All right, let's move on.
Did you have a bad prostate exam?
I got a question.
Yes.
I got a question. Do they serve milk at Bob's Burgers?
Oh,
we see the menu board. I'm just wondering
they have
if it's
beer.
Part of,
they serve
I'm
beer.
Just wondering if it's part of Johnny's conspiracy theory because Bob's Burgers is back.
I love Bob's
and they
Burgers.
Came back
they came
with
like hard and strong
a competing set of musicals at the middle school.
Awesome.
The official one was a working girl musical. The unofficial one, run by the Belcher children for $5 a head,
in the boiler room,
was a musical of Die Hard.
Oh my God!
Originally a one man show by Eugene.
Oh, yes. It was so great.
It was glorious.
Absolutely,
so
that
good.
Sounds like when It's Always Sunny did their Loaded Weapons.
Yes, yeah.
And it was told in a format of everybody's already busted in front
it was
of the
Rashomon
counselor's
style, yeah.
desk. really good Rashomon style. And having to explain what had gone on. And,
oh,
you know, it was brilliant.
Such a great opener.
Brilliant.
That show just gets better and stronger.
It really does.
I agree. I agree.
So,
I love
yeah.
it.
Didn't they just win an Emmy, too?
I don't know.
It won an Emmy for something.
It doesn't say here.
Won
a primetime Emmy. And one primetime Emmy for Outstanding Animated Program.
Boom.
In 2014.
Yes.
Look at Grant with the knowledge.
Yeah. All right. Dropping the knowledge.
All right.
But yeah, Bob's Burgers is back. Very happy with this. I'm looking forward to see where they go. If you're not watching the show, it took me a while to realize how good it was, and now I'll never miss an episode.
I've been addicted since episode one.
I wish I had been.
Addicted like
I had to
a
go
crack
back and catch
addict.
Up.
I feel like I was turned off initially by the animation style.
Yeah.
I was like one of those babies that's born addicted to crack because of their mother.
Yeah.
Well, like, The Simpsons was the mother.
Yeah.
I was the baby.
So you're okay.
I was the crack baby. I'm the crack baby fan of that show,
of Bob's Burgers.
All right. That's right.
It's a beautiful thing.
I think so. In this case, being a crack baby's fine.
So
I think this is like the second time we've advocated for crack babies.
I know.
Show.
What's
crack
going on?
Crack babies
here?
Are good. No
milk.
No milk.
They need something. They need
milk.
A little support.
Crack
PR
babies, don't drink your milk. Have your crack.
Have your crack.
A little bit of crack.
So changing gears to dramas.
Now you want it.
two dramas I haven't seen. Homeland on Showtime. Opened up season 4 or 5?
With
four.
A 1 hour and 45 minute episode. So it was part one and two.
Wow.
Robust.
And
I called bullshit on everything about 10 minutes in. As much as there was stuff that I liked about it, it's like...
Oh, was Martin Short in it?
There was a little baby. There was a little baby that I swear to God, it was like Damian Lewis.
Yeah, all right.
And Carrie Bradshaw. Actually, it was not Carrie Bradshaw.
No, but I watched that show.
It was like they actually had a baby just to have the prop baby. Because that kid looked exactly like them.
He did.
It was like, oh my
very
God.
Creepy.
Talk about casting. I mean, that baby looked
that might
just
be the
like
best
him.
Casting of any
best
show.
Baby casting ever.
Carrie and Brody had a baby. Huh?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Wait, is this the same cloning technology they're using to make young Steve Buscemi?
It might be.
Is Hollywood revealing cloning technology?
I think they are, yes.
Yeah. So
they're leading the edge.
This show, it's like, I like intrigue. I like espionage. I like kind of the view on the war on terror or whatever. I've always liked that. And I think you have one slightly interesting vein with this because they're going from the kid from, was it Pakistan or whatever, going from his vantage point from like, okay, he was at the thing that he was at.
Opening scene.
Yeah.
Opening scene. The CIA guy gives the go ahead, and the CIA guy was
Nick Stahl.
Nick Stoll.
From the Strain.
From the Strain, that guy.
Corey Stoll.
Right.
We'll get there.
Nick Stoll. Something like that.
Corey Stoll. You do that to me every week.
Corey Stoll, he
is the CIA guy, via Skype, gives the go-ahead to Carrie's group, who they're in Islamabad.
Yeah, Islamabad. Yes.
To do an F-16 bombing run on a farmhouse.
I thought it was a drone.
No, it wasn't a drone. Okay. That was part of it. It was live. F-16,
that's right.
I'm not sure either of them saw this show.
No, we saw. No.
Or if you did, you don't have to explain to everyone else.
Well, I kept flipping back to Mulaney so that I could watch both of my new favorites.
So Martin Short was on it.
So, yeah, he was the baby. He was the little redheaded baby. okay, here's the conflict. Carrie calls an okay to bomb this farmhouse. And it turns out it was a wedding at the farm, and everybody gets killed except for this one kid. A medical school student.
And he vows
And it's
vengeance.
In Pakistan.
No, this is interesting.
No, and actually that's the thing, is that he doesn't vow revenge. He's just kind
of
like...
Except the intrigue at the end of it with the guys who broke into his room.
Yeah,
because he had some vials or something.
So here's what I want to know.
So the point being, now Carrie is being... There's a conspiracy going on, like... Somebody apparently knew that there was all these people here, and Corey Stoll gets pulled out of a Suburban and stomped to death on a street in Pakistan. And it's just one of those shows that you call bullshit on about 12 times.
Here's what I want to know.
Right.
Can anyone give me a decent argument for why Homeland shouldn't have ended with season one with Brody blowing himself up in that room?
No.
No. Except only for one half of an episode, which I think is the best part of the show.
The interrogation.
That's it.
But it wasn't worth the rest of the crap we suffered through for three seasons.
But which they could have had in season one if he like blew himself, if he didn't blow himself up and left a bomb there.
Because we're on season four.
Yeah.
Damian Lewis is dead, spoilers. And who gives a shit about this show anymore?
And that's the thing, is like, I'm at a point with the show is that Carrie is so annoying, so insubordinate. She doesn't want to deal with her baby, so she's constantly leaving on his sister, so she wants to go back overseas. She bullshits a way to go back over, to force the CIA head to send her back overseas. It's like,
they didn't acknowledge that James Rebhorn, who played her father, died.
Yeah.
They just keep talking about him like he's in the next room. It's like, come on, man. You could have just acknowledged that
died.
And get that out of the way.
So, and then like, there's one scene where she brings the baby back by Brody's old house. He starts talking about your father. I was like,
you know what?
On.
I actually liked that.
Okay.
In that the family didn't come out. You know, it was because I kept thinking, oh, Jesus Christ, the wife is going to come out and go, what are you doing here?
Right, which would have been
weird. And then they were going to go, look, this is Brody's baby.
Which would have been weird and
that
terrible.
That would have sucked.
That would have been terrible.
It was almost like it gets points for having the opportunity to suck worse and not doing so.
Does Saul at any point either sing or sword fight?
No.
Saul, fuck the show.
Saul's the best part, and then the conflicted, and I always forget the handler guy.
Rupert Friend playing Peter Quinn.
He's like, they're like the two best parts of the show, and him being conflicted, because basically, Carrie, who we all know is a manic depressive, who's just insane, just
but
doesn't
somehow
like,
in charge of things.
Yeah, everybody's like, no, Carrie. Yeah. Like the pilot of the bombing says, this is fucked up. You know, Quinn says, this is fucked up. The CIA guy says, this is fucked up. She's like, I don't care.
I don't care.
You know, the uncle was there. They knew. They knew we were going. I'm like, Carrie, everybody's telling you this is a mess. You need to acknowledge that this is a mess. So
does it seem like this season's hoping to address like drones and collateral damage, that kind of
stuff? Maybe, but again, that's
like where you draw the line.
But
for the government?
Maybe that's where it could go. And now, for me, it's like, do I have the faith to think it'll actually go there, or is it going to be just
what have they done in three seasons that would give you any faith that they're going to go somewhere interesting?
There's a conspiracy brewing.
And
that's
like
the one thing.
Conspiracy?
Yeah. It's all over milk.
Probably.
Could be.
People come in and say, I demand milk. And then they beat him to death in the street because of it.
I think Big Milk has its fingers in every pie, you know what I'm saying.
Now, every cake, I think.
Every cake. Yeah. Every cookie.
I mean, the show is, it's okay. At this point, it's probably reached Sons of Anarchy for me. It's like, I don't know why I keep watching, but I hope it's going to get better. Or they might have one great episode. You're like, oh, it's pretty good. It's back. But then you realize it's just, and then it's like, let me ask you, Grant, over Son of Anarchy, after if you think about the whole series, was it really that good?
If you had a choice between watching none of it or all of it, which choice would you make?
Yeah.
None.
How about
and that's what
from an elemental point of view, how is the acting on Sons of Anarchy?
It's pretty soap opera-y. But I will say it has its target audience and they eat that shit up.
Right.
And if those plots were a little bit more particular to me, I would be fanatical over the show like they are. Okay. I can understand the appeal.
That's what I would say about Homeland. I do like intrigue, international espionage shows. I love those shows.
Yeah. You love The Americans. You love 24.
Right. I loved the one that James Badge Dale was in that got canceled after the year.
Rubicon. I love all three of those shows, but Homeland is dead to me and has been for a while.
Right, but that part is interesting, because Mandy Patinkin's really good.
Patinkin's good.
Acting
Claire Danes
is
good.
Fantastic.
And Claire Danes is great.
That is the only real selling point.
But her character,
is just to watch these actors.
You want
to
kill the character though, but she is really
out of bullshit,
good.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's the one.
But it's about Sons of Anarchy level for me, and I'll probably keep watching it a little bit, but I don't know.
So Homeland did not have a miraculous turnaround, is what I'm hearing.
No,
but
not really.
Perhaps another show that had its finale did. Bridge Season 2, I hear.
Yes.
Bridge Season 2 had quite a finish.
FX, bring it back. Bring it back.
Please bring it
back.
Bring it back. It ended so comfortable with itself.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is
on
the outside.
It knows what it's doing.
Yes.
It knows what it's doing.
It's not going with silly, over-the-top mastermind kind of garbage.
No, there was none of that this year.
I want to know.
It ended with a conspiracy between the CIA and the FBI.
DEA.
A DEA. The DEA and the CIA. And I never quite got to the root of what that conspiracy was about.
The deal is that the DEA is trying to get into Mexico to bust the trying to help the Mexican government at least. Well, there was an election, so it's a new Mexican
puppet government.
Well, no, but it's a new Mexican government. So the DEA had the thing with their old government. They changed it, so DEA is trying to scramble, but because they still want Fausto. But then the CIA has been protecting Fausto and the bank he launders his money through, because they use that money to fund their shit.
Yeah, it's very Iran-Contra.
Exactly. Gotcha. Like Iran-Contra.
It's like a Mexican version of Iran-Contra.
Yeah.
To where, except that
So these little guys are trapped in the middle.
Yeah, that the DEA and the CIA don't know what each other is doing.
Right.
Is this why Fausto seems to like have so much swagger going around, like he's untouchable?
He is very touchable.
Well, until this, about halfway through this season, when he realized that he was a puppet for all of it.
Yeah.
And so he's ready to go out in a blaze of glory, kind of a thing.
Kind of Scarface.
Yeah.
Kinda.
But there's not an audience for it,
and
so he
I
keeps
love
putting it off, kind of a
no,
thing.
No, but I love it, the fact. I love the fact that he didn't do that.
He didn't do it.
Because, first of all, he became one of the funniest, macabre, funniest characters on TV. Yeah. Him and his
yeah,
and
that
his
actor's
buddy.
Great.
Just how comical and how just sick they were.
I love last season when he was talking about like what makes a serial killer.
Oh,
yeah.
They had dialogue like that through this whole.
Like when
season,
he wanted to go to he wanted to see fjords. He's like, I want to go see the fjords. He's just sitting in he's trapped in his like warehouse with his boats and shit. He's like, I just want to go see fjords. You ever been to fjords, Marco? He's just kind of just like, what the fuck am I doing here? Yeah.
I'm loaded. I'm so wealthy,
but I can't do anything, and all this shit is just shit.
The woman that had the horse ranch. They killed her off. Like, okay, let's
What was her name? That actress. It was kind of a big actress that was on there.
Yeah,
that we were all surprised.
I never remember it. Lady from the X-Files, right?
Yeah.
So they killed her off, but then the story did get tighter because you saw how the newspaper guys were finding out what's going on with the CIA.
They got great.
The
two newspaper characters got great.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Matt Lillard and
girl from Everything Else.
Girl from Breaking Bad. Yeah,
and
Jesse's girl.
And Friday Night Lights. And Men of a Certain Age. And
Emily Rios.
Ah. Emily Rios.
And Anna.
Epic.
Anna Beth Gish is the one who died.
Anna Beth Gish.
Yeah, so they tied everything together because they all got the conspiracy that it all makes sense because everything was involved in it. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. And even the fact, the only weird part was this thing with Eleanor, the murdering crazy
Franca
lady.
Potente.
Right. Because basically her dad.
Say that again.
Franca Potente?
Yeah.
Did I say it right?
I just like the way you say it.
Franca.
Franca Potente?
So she, because the thing is, she was doing all this work because Fausto had kidnapped her dad because her dad molested her and all that stuff. And so she was basically torturing her dad.
It took her grace.
Yeah, it took her grace.
She was a fallen Mennonite because her father had raped her and her mother didn't care. And so she got this drug lord to take her father and castrate him and keep him in a cage and a pair of underwear and a shirt. And you keep seeing his hands.
That old story.
Yeah, you keep seeing his hands, and they're like these goblin hands. And then when he finally comes out, he's just like this old, he looks like a Joe Kubert old man, you know, like that Moses on the cover of that
such
comic
a TV
book.
Cliche, like drinking milk in an episode,
but, pretty much.
But even that final scene was great because he takes her out to try to kill her or whatever, and then he gets the upper hand on her, which is awesome. And then that's when Marco and
Sonia
come, and then
Sonia and Marco, yeah.
So Sonia ends up killing him. So Sonia, because the whole thing is the other arc is that Sonia is fed up with all these people who are doing these illegal killings, and now she's done one of herself. And she's sitting underneath the tree.
And she's in Mexico. She kills somebody, another person in Mexico.
Right. Well, you can kill whoever you want in Mexico, right?
So, summaries aside, this was stronger.
Yes.
To me, it really was. For one, Franca Potente survives.
Yep.
She doesn't get killed. Marco leaves
his
badge.
Most people don't get killed.
Yeah, they're really
pretty
kinda
good.
But do you guys think better than season one?
Yes.
Like, do they find their footing essentially?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Way better than season one. And I like the way season one ended.
But it still had the same spirit of season one.
Yeah.
You know, like the relationships and the way it's shot and everything. Yeah. But it made sense.
Yeah.
But it was a real good conspiracy story.
Okay.
You don't know whose side is, you know. And they killed off the guy from season one jail.
Sure. Well, the ratings were not great.
Yeah, that's
and
the
problem. But Fox is not giving a decision whether they, or FX is not giving a decision whether they're going to renew or cancel. We'll see. But I may check this out when it's on Netflix. I may give it another shot.
The funniest thing is that to the main characters, you had Sebastian, who's the other, who's like the money heavy that was working with Fausto, had a lot of scenes with Marco and their brothers. The actors are brothers.
Yeah.
So it was really weird kind of looking at them playing two different people that weren't related, but they look really similar.
Yeah.
Do you guys think you need to have watched season one to watch season two?
No.
You could jump in on season two?
I kind of wish they would do like a 3-episode recap of season one. Take out all the James Bond shit and just have the crime and so that you know where Marco's head is.
The only thing is Marco's head about, because in season one, spoiler, the serial killer kills his son.
Right.
And that whole thing is kind of driven Marco to the edge or whatever.
There's a great scene where he goes and sees Matthew Lillard, who's still recovering from having been shot on the bridge that night.
Right,
and Marco saved him, and I mean, he still got shot, but he goes to the newspaper office, and Matthew Lillard sees him, and it's been months, and he goes, hey, I never got a chance to thank you for helping me that night, and he goes, I don't want to talk about that night.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, he's just so intense. It's, I love the use of Spanish language, of people speaking
the
Spanish
best,
in Mexico.
I don't know why other shows don't do that. I mean, it makes it hard that you can't like half-ass watch it because you kind of have to pay attention, but... Like with Tyrant, they should have done that with the Arabic. It would have been better. But you know, it's just the style of the show, the way it's shot, the acting. It's just it's
Lyle Lovett.
Oh, it's great.
Lyle Lovett was so great
with the boots.
John Cale had an interesting little cameo. Linder survived, which was great.
Which is nice, barely.
It's just a really good show. It's intriguing. You'd never know where it's going to go from one episode to the next. It's beautiful to watch. I'm really taken with it.
I hope they bring it back because they really just give it one more season.
But how it concluded, it could be okay.
It could be okay. I'd be okay if it ended like that.
Well, cool. There we go. I mean, that's another big block of fall TV that we've covered this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, we can do
it. And we don't have any more new shows, right? No more new shows.
Well, not this week.
Not this week.
Next week starts the show.
Next week is
the TV
Fair
Dudes Out.
Comes back. Flash and Green Arrow.
Oh, that's what I meant for next week. We're going to have more shows.
Oh, yeah.
We're not done.
It don't end.
Constantine is until the end of October, man. We got a bunch of new stuff coming.
Well, that will conclude this week. Hey, guys, let us know what you guys thought of these shows. We'll definitely be back next week. And in the meantime, please, you know, send us your emails, mail@thetvdudes.com. Please rate us on iTunes. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter and send us your questions. Post your questions on this posting.
And don't drink any more milk.
Or your comments, rather. And don't drink any more milk.
TV Dudes out.
Que son los mismos labios que besar.